Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. We'll be picking up on Chapter 4 with Chapter 4 of the Crossover on page 25. And with a quick reminder that the phone lines are not open today, we'll get underway. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're in a very exciting chapter called The Crossover, and it really answers that question, what happens to us the moment that we're saved? And I think many people, when asked that question, would answer, well, I prayed a prayer, I walked an aisle. And they would center it on what they did, their response of faith. But today we're going to take a look at what happened as far as God was concerned.
Yes.
And we're going to base everything that we talk about on a wonderful passage out of the book of John, the Gospel of John, John 5:24, and it simply states this, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." So what happens the moment we're saved, I like to say it's the crossover. We cross over from death to life. That's how God sees it. Now, we only look at the response of faith. We are not really sure of all of the intricacies of God's work in our lives. But if we will spend some time and focus in on what Christ has done and what has happened to us, then the Christian life will really take shape. We won't have to ask a whole bunch of questions like most of us do today, trying to figure it out. If we will just spend the amount of time necessary to really figure out what has happened to us from God's perspective, then I think this Christian life will really just fall into place for each and every one of us. So we're going to talk about the crossover, crossing over from death to life. That's what happens to us the very moment that we're saved. Well, why is that necessary? Why do we need to cross over from death to life? Well, that's the whole story of Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3.
Yes.
And the rest of the Bible really explains God's plan in reversing what happened in those early stages of human life. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at the Genesis account again. We've done that the last three or four teaching editions, but this is so vitally important to the story. So if we will see what happened to Adam and Eve, then what happens to us as far as God is concerned and crossing us over from death to life will really start to make sense. So we're going to begin with the section in the study guide called The Wrong Place. So before you trusted Jesus Christ and were made alive in him, you were not where you were supposed to be. You were in the wrong place. That's just the way it is. And we're going to see what that place was and how the Bible describes it and why it's one of those places you want to get away from as quickly as you possibly can. So Richard, in Genesis 2:15, where did God put Adam to live and for what purpose?
God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. I mean, look at this initiative on God's behalf. He has just created humanity in the form of Adam, and you get timing issues throughout the first couple of chapters, but Adam and Eve are placed into the garden to take care of it, to manage it, for it to be their home. God did that for them. He created them alive. He was in them spiritually so that they were spiritually alive, and he created this ideal place for them to live, and that's where he put them. The right place. That's where they belonged. He created it for them. He made it for them. He made them for it. He put them there, and he was in charge of the whole thing under grace, by the Spirit, by his very presence, face-to-face with them.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And in the garden, so he was there to take care of it. But in the garden, he had this relationship with God. Mm-hmm. In the cool of the morning, in the cool of the evening,
yes,
he walked with God, communed with God, had fellowship with God. There was this daily conversation that God had with Adam and Eve. Now, what happened to them after they sinned? Did they remain in the garden, or were they banished from the garden? Did they have to move to another location, to another place?
Well, thankfully, the Bible tells us that, and that's in Genesis 3, verses 23 and 24. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. So again, here is God's initiative. Notice that humans aren't controlling God. God is controlling humans. What Adam and Eve did was say, we'll take this on our own. We want to be wise like God. We'll eat from the tree that he asked us not to eat from, and then we'll become like God, and now we'll be equals. And what they did was give up every ounce of that face-to-face relationship. Satan became their leader, their ruler, and God said, well, because you've done that, I can no longer allow you to live in this perfect home I created for you because the tree of life is there. And you can't live eternally in sin. That is not allowed. The wages of sin is death. In the day you eat of it, you will die. They died spiritually the moment they ate the fruit. And then God put them out of the garden. This is the bad news part of the story. God initiated their rejection out of the garden to live someplace else but away from the tree of life, so that they would die physically eventually. This curse is almost unimaginable, and it would be unimaginable, and it would be beyond cruel if that's where the story ended. But that's not where the story ended. That's where we put ourselves as the result of our sin, all of us in Adam, and that's why we're in the wrong place. Because Adam and Eve sinned, God said, no, you can't live here anymore. You must live outside of the garden, and now we're stuck. What's going to happen?
So, fully alive people lived in a garden.
Yes.
Adam and Eve, that's where they lived. Then they died spiritually. Well, the garden isn't for spiritually dead people.
No.
So, there's another place, and that's where they were banished to. Now, the Bible tells us that that place is called darkness. If we look at John chapter 12 and verse 46, we read this: I have come into the world as a light, this is Jesus speaking, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. So how does the Lord Jesus describe this place that Adam and Eve were banished to? He calls it darkness.
Yes.
So when you and I come into this world, we are born into darkness. That's our place. That's where we are trying to figure out life. That's why it's so hard for us to do. That's why we stumble. That's why we fall. That's why we try everything, but we're still searching and wanting and longing for that one thing that will satisfy our souls. We can't find it in the darkness. Mm-hmm. It's only found in the light, and that's why Jesus came into this world of darkness as the light.
Yes.
So you and I lived in darkness. Now, that's not a good place to live. That's why God has sent Jesus, so that we could get out of darkness back into light, so that we could enjoy the garden life, so to speak, mm-hmm. that Adam and Eve enjoyed. And actually, when you get to the book of Revelation at the very end, you see the garden being reintroduced.
Yes.
And so we're going to be there in the garden, and the tree of life is going to line the river that we will all enjoy and experience and just, gosh, have eternal bliss in the presence of God himself, as God initially intended. So we're in the darkness. That's the place that we're in. It's the wrong place. It's not where God had us to begin with. It's not where he wants us today. So we ask this question: what is Jesus' promise to those who follow him in John 8:12? And this is one of those seven great I am statements.
Yes.
So if you want to know who Jesus is, what he's like, what he has come to do, John spends a lot of time giving us some really direct statements about who Jesus is. We've categorized those as the seven great I Ams. So God's name is the great I Am, or I Am. We learned that back in Exodus when Moses said, well, who should I tell them has sent me? And so God says, tell them that I Am has sent you. And then Jesus picks up on that in one of his conversations to the Pharisees, and he said to them, before Abraham, I Am.
Yes.
So Jesus identified as that God who was with Moses. Mm-hmm. He and the Father are one. And so the Apostle John really uses that as a theme in his gospel account.
Yes.
So here in John 8:12 is one of those great I Am statements. When Jesus again spoke to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. So who is Jesus? He is the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So what happens to those of us who follow Jesus, who believe in his name? We are transferred out of darkness
and
into light. So we go from the wrong place to the right place. That is the work of Jesus on our behalf. Mm-hmm. So as far as we're concerned, we just followed Jesus. He's the light of the world. We're in darkness. We follow him. And we start figuring this life thing out. But from God's vantage point, we're taken out of one place and placed into another, out of darkness and into light. Mm-hmm. So how did Peter describe this? In 1 Peter 2:9, the apostle wrote this, but you are a chosen people. Now, that's good news in and of itself.
Yes.
You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. So if you're a believer in Christ, this is what applies as far as you're concerned. This is who you are. You are a chosen people, a part of a royal priesthood, part of a holy nation, part of God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Yes.
So what does the gospel message do? It calls us out of darkness. It meets us where we are. Mm-hmm. It meets us in the dark and then draws us away from the dark and places us firmly in the light of
yes.
God's goodness and love and mercy and grace.
And it's God's initiative to do that. He's the one who chose to do it. He's the one who brings it about. He's the one who calls us, grabs us by the hand, and leads us back into that light.
Absolutely. Well, guys, good stuff. And friends, you're listening to the Basic Gospel Friday teaching series through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. Of course, the study guide is available along with each week's study notes at basicgospel.net/teaching. And that's, of course, our main website, basicgospel.net, followed by a slash and the word teaching. Also, we have a gift for you when you sign up for ministry emails. It's our ebook, Forgiveness, The Door to Life, a powerful resource to set you on the path of joy and freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your free electronic copy today by clicking subscribe at basicgospel.net. Back to our study, guys. Bob Christopher is here. Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. We thank you for joining us, everybody. And as I said, let's go back to our study now. This is just good stuff, man.
It is good stuff. Well, one last question in this section, the wrong place, and it's based on Colossians 2:13. So Adam and Eve died spiritually, and they were banished from the garden. They were placed in darkness. That's where all of us are born, in the dark. And we see Jesus. He's the light of the world. We follow him. That's the faith response. By grace, God initiates. He sends Jesus into our dark world. We see him as the light. We believe that he is the light. That's the faith response, by grace, through faith. And when that happens, we are transferred out of darkness into light. So where do you live as a believer today? In the light. Will you ever be in darkness again?
No.
Absolutely not. You will never be in darkness again. You may do some deeds of the dark. You may still think some dark thoughts, but you're doing that in the light.
Yes.
So that's why you see them for what they are. You didn't see those dark thoughts and those dark deeds for what they were when you lived in the dark. You didn't want to, but now that you're in the light, you see them clearly. And that light of God's life in the person of Jesus Christ begins to shape us and mold us and transform us into the very image of his Son. And part of the way he does that is by shining light on those dark thoughts and those dark deeds. We get to see them for what they are. We see them as yucky. We see them as utterly sinful. And then we can say no. That's how God's grace teaches us to say no to those deeds of darkness. So how does Paul describe this transfer from darkness into light in Colossians 2:13? It says, when you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins. So our lead passage for this particular chapter is John 5:24. He who believes in him crosses over from death to life. In Colossians 2:13, we see it's being made alive together with Christ. Mm-hmm. So that's what happens. How are we transferred from darkness into light? By being made alive together with Christ. So here's the good news. To cross over from death to life means you have crossed over from darkness to light.
Yes.
Now, let that soak in. Mm-hmm. You are in the light. There's a lot of teaching out there that says that you can bounce back and forth, that you can change geography based on behavior. If you act good, you remain in the light. If you act bad, you get kicked out of the garden again and go back to darkness. Well, is that what God does? Absolutely not. The cross ensures that once we have been transferred out of darkness into light, that is our permanent home. We will never, ever, ever go back to darkness. That is good news.
It's wonderful news.
Man, let that soak in. Man, come to the point that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt where you are. You are in the right place. God has secured the borders. There is no one that can sneak in and snatch you out of light and take you back to darkness. You are there forever. Why? Because you have crossed over from death to life. You have been made fully alive in Jesus, and all of your sins have been forgiven. You may do some deeds of darkness in the light, but when you do, you're going to recognize the truth that that sin, just as every other sin, has already been forgiven in Christ Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
Boy, is that good news.
That's good news.
Well, not only were you in the wrong place, you were attached to the wrong person. And I think this is significant for us to understand. You know, we look out there in the world and we hear discussions about freedom. And people want to do this because they think they're going to be free. And what that means is they want to just live out their perversions and their crazy ideas and crazy thoughts without anybody ever questioning it or saying anything about it. But really what they're saying is, I want to move deeper and deeper into the bondage that I'm in this darkness. That's what that is. There's no freedom there. Well, why is that so? Because we're attached to the wrong person. So let's take a look at some of the passages in the New Testament that talk about what darkness looks like and who controls the dark. According to Ephesians 2:2, when you lived in the dark, what shaped your way of life, Richard?
Well, it's pretty graphic and gross. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So it wasn't that Adam and Eve, and therefore us, chose freedom. They chose slavery, and it was slavery to Satan himself. And therefore, everything, the ways of this world, everything that exists outside of Christ is represented by the ways of this world. Everything in that representation leads us to more slavery. It cannot do anything other than that. There's no hope in economics or politics or money or power or fame, any of that. Every bit of that takes us down the path to more slavery because the ruler of the kingdom of the air, Satan, is in charge of that stuff. He's in charge of me before I'm saved. I really have no choice. That's the only voice I get to hear other than the miracle of God and the Spirit saying, Richard, pay attention, pay attention. But there's, again, the bad news. It's done in such a stark way that there's no question. It's not like, well, you know, you were kind of bad and you had one foot in. No, you are in darkness. You are dead. You are following the ways of the world. You are actually a slave of Satan himself until something happens.
So who sets the agenda in the dark?
Satan sets the agenda.
Absolutely. But as we know, he disguises himself as an angel of light. So we don't make the clear connection there. We don't come to the point and say, well, yeah, Satan's in charge and I'm under his control. And, of course, we never want to say that.
No.
That's just too offensive to our pride. But that's truth. In the dark, there were forces, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, Satan himself. He was the one setting the agenda. And what characteristic does the ruler of the kingdom of the air cultivate in those who live in the dark? According to this passage, it's disobedience.
Yes.
So that's how the lost world lives. That's the way of life for those who are lost, who are living in darkness. It is disobedience. And that is attached to an unbelieving heart.
Yes.
So that unbelieving heart spells itself out in disobedience to truth, the things of the Lord, the way of life that God has set forth through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And what's really important here is that you're not being disobedient to the law. This is the disobedience that's the result of unbelief. I refuse to believe Jesus because he's the one who's been given to us. Therefore, everything I do is wrong. Everything, even the good stuff, is wrong because I'm living in unbelief and therefore disobedient.
Darkness is a place of rebellion.
Yes.
Satan rebelled. We see that story of his rebellion in Isaiah 14, and he brings that rebellion to the world.
Yes.
And that's the way of darkness, rebellion. And we see it in disobedient hearts and disobedient actions. So how does John describe those who do what is sinful in 1 John 3:8? And here's that passage. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So who is in charge as far as the darkness is concerned?
Devil.
Who's still
Satan.
In charge?
Yes.
The devil. So for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. That is the characteristics of the world. That's the ways of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And God has come to correct that,
yes,
to move us out of the wrong place into the right place, to take us out of darkness into light, and to sever that control that Satan had over us so that we could be led once and for all by the Holy Spirit and could enjoy the way of life that has been laid out for us by grace through faith in Jesus. That's the good news of crossing over from death to life, and we'll pick this up next week.
Next week. Friends, we're glad that you've joined us for the study edition of Basic Gospel. Keep in mind that the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide, along with the book by the same name, are available when you visit our website, basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's our regular website, basicgospel.net/teaching. A reminder, too, that Basic Gospel needs your help to keep the good news on the air. We ask you to join with us today, if you can, by clicking donate on any page of our website at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Once again, we want to remind you also to take advantage of the opportunity to download the Basic Gospel app. It is chock full of features to keep you connected with the best news you'll ever hear. Well, thanks for being with us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the Basic Gospel team, Bob Davis wishing you a great weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. See you next week. Bye-bye.